Good afternoon. You're listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. We're your hosts for today's show. I'm Gray.
And I'm Eric Yates. The Student Union is a youth-led organization. We are a group of young people from Philadelphia public schools making a change in the school system, doing political education and leadership development.
On Blast is the only youth-led and youth-produced radio show in Philadelphia. That means that students do the interviews, edit and produce segments, and we host the show. We are using the media as a tool to organize and liberate young people.
You can tune in to On Blast every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. on 88.1 FM WPEB. Or you can listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com. While you are there, you can also subscribe to our podcast and have new shows sent directly to your iTunes.
Today, we'll hear some students making their voices heard at the School Reform Commission meeting. Plus, we'll have music and other news.
We'll listen to a song breakdown on Ludacris' new song, One More Drink. Stay tuned for more On Blast after this short music break.
Goes on and on and on. You give.
We just heard a piece about the new funding that came through for the school district. Now let's get some news about the School Reform Commission.
The Philadelphia School Reform Commission, or SRC, was established during the 2001 state takeover of the Philadelphia School District. To replace the Board of Education, it was five members, three appointed by the governor and two appointed by the mayor. This January, the terms of four of the five members expired. Since then, Governor Randall and Mayor Nutter have been working for replacements. Denise McGregor Ambrister is the one member whose term did not expire. Also, Heidi Ramirez was reappointed by Randall. The three remaining commissioners were replaced. The new commissioners are Robert Archie Jr., Joseph Dworsky, and Johnny Irizarry.
Robert Archie Jr. was appointed by Mayor Nutter. He will be the new chairman of the SRC. He is a West Philadelphia High School graduate and former math teacher. He is a partner at the law firm Duane Morris. He is also on the board of both Lincoln University and Universal Institute Charter School, a pre-K to 8th grade school founded by music producer Kenny Gamble. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, since 2005, he has also donated $17,300 to the campaigns of Dwight Evans, who is a strong proponent of charter schools. Joseph Dworsky was appointed by Governor Randall. He was the Philadelphia City Solicitor when Randall was mayor. He is also a partner at the law firm Hangley, Aronchick, Siegel, and Poudlin. Johnny Irizarry was appointed by Mayor Nutter. He grew up in East Harlem. He has worked as a program specialist for Puerto Rican and Latino studies for the school district. He also has connections to two charter schools serving mostly Latino communities. He's also the director of the Center for Hispanic Excellence at the University of Pennsylvania.
According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Randall said it is important to get business community involved, which is reflected in the choice of two lawyers. As far as getting the business community involved, this can leave us to wonder about how this will affect district policy on giving the management of struggling schools to private companies. Also, the process for selecting a new SRC member was done mostly behind closed doors. The process has not been transparent. The selection of the new members seems based mostly on what the mayor and governor wanted, and not necessarily what the community wants.
Up next, we have a song breakdown from Candace Carter and Zakiya Royster.
What's up, West Philly?
And all our listeners.
You are now listening to the wonderful gems of Philly Student Union.
I'm Candace.
And I'm Zakiya. And this is On Blast Radio. We are now about to have a discussion about
One More Drink and all the things that it leads to.
Now, before we get into playing the song, Candace, how did you feel about the song before you listened to the lyrics?
Before I actually listened to the lyrics, I didn't really notice what it was talking about. I thought it was a nice beat, nice song, One More Drink, drinking alcohol. It's something that it relates to a lot of things that young kids do today. And, that's why it's real catchy. Nobody really listens to the actual things that he says. How about you?
I felt that it was a nice party song. It was something that, everybody listened to, everybody did. It wasn't a big deal about it until I actually just sat there and just really listened to the song breakdown. But that's when I realized it was, exploiting other people.
And here's One More Drink by Ludacris.
It was Friday night and I was feeling aight. Yep. Downtown Atlanta, big city, bright lights. Mixing Henny with the Sprite while I'm drinking and driving. No police lights, no police sirens. I'm headed to the club, looking for a freak. To spread a little love and spread a couple cheeks. Pull up to the spot, 26 is like, bam. Eyes on me like, do you see him? Stroll through the front door, headed to the VIP. Bought a couple bottles and I took a couple sips. Scoping out the room and what do I see? A nice round butt and a pair of double D's. So I crept up like shawty, what's happening? You killing that dress and I love it with a passion. Then she turned around and her face was aight. She had a gap tooth and a mean overbite. But I was like, Remember, was taking shots and
tipping the bartender, surrender to the woman and her bringing me home, cause she started looking better every shot of Patron. Yep, I jumped up with a devilish grin, cause tonight, damn right, I might do it again. So I called up the homies, let's ride, we can hit the sports bar over on the south side. Get a couple of Coronas, couple of limes, went up to the bar and saw a couple of dimes. So I slowly walked up and said, hi, my name's Ludacris and I'm a hell of a guy. One said, I know who you are, I'm your number one fan. And right now it's too bad I got a man, and I said, I understand. But where the hell is he at? Cause in a minute if he don't show up, then man. Grab the camera phone and take a bunch of drunk pictures. Cause Hennessy mixed with a whole bunch of equals you mixed with a whole bunch of looters. And you know how far one drink could go. Start slurring my speech, slowing up the flow. Hiking up your skirts, climbing up your shirt. It's Mr. Late Night Looter and I like to flirt. So guess what, baby girl?
So after listening to the song, here are some of the main points that we noticed. That he said you should drink and drive. Drinking is good and it helps you meet girls. You should go up to every girl you see and tell them that you want to have sex with them. That every relationship needs to be sexually initiated by the man. All about what he wants to do. And sex equals life.
I also noticed by listening to the song that a man's insecurities will make him do things like get a woman drunk just so he could be with her because he doesn't know how to talk to her.
Also, yeah, like, even with dealing with a man and his insecurities, like, young boys just hearing this song and thinking that, you know, because a rapper's saying it's okay to get women drunk and to sleep with them, that's also how a lot of date rape happens and causes, because young boys think that, oh, I can't be with this girl while she's sober, so they end up getting her drunk or putting things in her drink, and which that's rape, because if you're so drunk that you can't consent, you won't be able to consent to anything, so... You know, that's a really big point and big issue that's happening now in Philadelphia in the United States.
Speaking of big teen issues, another point you made was drinking and driving. And according to the Center of Disease Control in 2004, 4,767 teenagers died from fatal car crash injuries due to, you know, DUI. When teens go out and drink and drive and they get in the car accidents, they, you know, kill a couple people or injure themselves. It kind of makes it harder for, you know, people like me, people who are focused, you know, like kids who are, like, not trying to drink and drive, you know, get their license and, you know, be responsible and, you know, be looked at by adults as, you know, responsible young people, responsible adults.
I also just, like, as I was listening to the song, it was just, like, he was, like, I just put out something. Even if you've seen the video, you notice that when he first seen the girl, before he took that one more drink, she was ugly to him. Like, in his eyes, she was not beautiful. She was ugly. But it took for him to get intoxicated to the point where he didn't. And then even when you seen it, he seen a totally different girl. Like, somebody he didn't even so see, like, the same person.
Wasn't even what she looked like.
And like, I thought, yeah, like, how even being a girl, and yes, before I actually, like, listened to the words and, like, took in perspective what he was saying, I liked it. But yeah, how do you still dance in, like, something like that when you realize, like, even at the end when he says people are too picky, but you just like
you just said, like, drink, like, take one more drink, yeah, and she's beautiful. Like, don't be picky. Like, if she ugly, if you like her, that's that. Like, don't say alcohol is gonna make her pretty and you can have sex with her.
Also, how he stereotyped women, I felt like. Because she went from being a nice-sized, voluptuous woman to this skinny model with, like, different features. And
nice teeth.
It was like, why couldn't she be beautiful just the way she was? Why you couldn't just accept a woman for the way she is? To another viewpoint that we saw was sex equals a life, good time. Or life, yes. Sex equals a good time. I don't know who made that rule. I don't know who told Ludacris that rule, but I don't think, my opinion, that's not totally true.
Yeah.
I actually think that sex and alcohol, sometimes it could equal confusion. It could bring confusion to a young person's life. Speaking from a teen's perspective, when you drink, sometimes you act in very risky behavior, and you have the time, you don't even remember what you did.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't even remember what kind of time you had. You might have had the best time in your life, but because you were drunk, you didn't even remember. And also, you don't have to get drunk to have a good time. You can be sober, and you can do good things and have fun.
And one more thing I also noticed from the song is, you know, that, like, they blame their actions on the women.
Oh, my God. Isn't that horrible?
Because he's just like, be careful what you do. She's not doing anything. You getting drunk because you want to be with her. You can't blame that on her.
I think it's just like a way to do risky things or to do bad behavior and to not have to be accountable for it. Like, be careful what you're going to make me do.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end it on that note. And you have been talking with me. I'm Zakiya.
And Candace.
And we are the Gems of Philly City Union.
The last piece we heard explored the messages behind One More Drink and how they affect listeners. Now it's time to talk about what's going on in the news.
On the last week of March, the School Reform Commission, SRC, announced a new rule that only one member from an organization can speak during an SRC meeting. This rule is directly targeted to organizations like the Philadelphia Student Union, Youth United for Change, and other organizing groups that are not afraid to call the district out and to reach out to community members, students, and teachers to get them to speak out. The district knows that every person that signs up to testify has something they want to say, and members of organizations know what they're talking about.
We believe that the reason the district is now only allowing one member per organization to speak is because they want to go along with the plans they already have without listening to us. If every member or one more than one speaks, it can threaten their program.
Coming up in a few minutes, we have some audio of students at the School Reform Commission meeting from Wednesday, April 15th. But first, let's hear some music.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Oh, pick it light. Sides. Don't punish me sister. With brutality sister. Talk to me sister. So you can see sister. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Right now. Right on.
Oh, but who are they to judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket line and picket sight. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on.
If you're just joining us, this is On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. You can also listen to the show online, including past shows, by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com.
Now we will hear some audio of students urging the School Reform Commission to delay a vote that could lead to the closure of 30 to 35 schools, and talking about the problems with the district's new strategic plan, Imagine 2014.
Good afternoon. My name is Javier Morris. I'm a sophomore at Bodine High School and a concerned and active student in my community. Today I wanted to respond to a part of Imagine 2014 about Renaissance School. It concerns me that this part of the plan would give up schools and outside providers. Let me tell you about my experiences as a public school student. In third grade, I was at Samuel B. Huey Elementary School. There were a lot of things wrong with the school. We didn't have enough textbooks for every student, and we didn't have enough books to take home. Over the years, the school added 6th, 7th, and 8th grade to the school, and classrooms became overcrowded. Overall, Huey got worse and worse. When I was in 7th grade, Huey got taken over by Edison. It was only a couple weeks before school started that me and my family found out that Huey was being taken over by an outside provider. Even at the age of 12, I was concerned about my school being taken over by a private company. I thought that the school would get even worse. My suspicions were right. The only difference after Edison took over was that there was a slight increase in discipline of students. There were only fewer fights. Besides that, there were no improvements inside the classroom. We still didn't have a full class set of books. Just like before Edison took over, we had lots of different teachers within the same year. They were safe for a little while and then quit. In the end, even after Edison took over, there wasn't much of a difference in my learning. Having an outside provider take over my school didn't change how much I learned. After I got out of Huey, I heard that we had been taken over by Edison because the school district claimed to not know how to run the struggling neighborhood schools. When I started high school at Bodine last year, I realized that the district's claim couldn't be true. Bodine High School for International Affairs is one of the top-rated high schools in the district and the country. There are a lot of reasons why Bodine is as successful as it is. We have books to take home, most of the teachers are good, and the majority of them have been there for a while. Compared to Huey, we don't have teachers coming and going all the time. The district gives us relative freedom, books, and materials that we need to learn and better teachers. Compared to other schools that are overcrowded, Bodine is relatively small. Because the school is relatively small, by the end of the first semester, I felt like I knew teachers and students more personally than I would have at Huey. Although it's one of the top rated, we also have the most students living in poverty of all the magnet schools in Philadelphia. Though it's racially diverse, it's mostly students of color. The fact that we're top rated shows that if you give the students what they need, instead of giving up on them, they will get high academic results. The achievement gap says that students of color are not getting the same test scores as whites. The only reason that is happening is that in general, students of color aren't getting the same resources in their schools as white students. The reason I'm talking about this is because the schools that are being considered for becoming Renaissance schools have students that are mostly students of color and in poverty. On top of all that, the most recent study shows that schools that were taken over by Edison are actually farther behind other schools in the district now than they were before the takeover. As you are thinking about voting on this plan, imagine 2014. Think about my story. Think about how it's not effective to give schools to an outside provider. Think about how the simple act of giving schools what they need can bring greater approval, regardless of poverty or size. I'm asking you to give the struggling schools what they need and not to give them to outside providers. Thank you.
My name is Eric Gates, and I'm a senior at West Philadelphia High School. I want to talk about the future of my school and what I've learned about transforming low performing schools. Students, parents, and community members in the neighborhood surrounding my school have been working for 6 years to design the model for transforming the education at our school. The result of all our meetings, research, and planning is that we have come up with a model for a high-performing school to go along with the brand new building that West is getting in 2011. Our plan involves personalization, community-centered schools, theme-based hands-on learning, and other advantages that many schools in our district already have. We've been waiting year after year for support from the district for our plan. Being a part of this process for the last 4 years, I've seen some real changes at my school. Now we have theme-based academies and more programs and support for students. And even though we still face opposition from adults, students, and making our voices heard, creating this plan hasn't always been easy. And we've had our ups and downs. But working with parents, students, community leaders, clergy, and others has helped me realize that in every community, there's a group of people who will rise up and reclaim their neighborhood school if they have the chance and if they're organized. The plan we've created, if implemented, will not just improve the school a little bit. It will lead to positive school environment, supportive relationships between students and teachers, a severe reduction in the dropout rate, and an end to the achievement gap. Being a part of this process has changed me. I've been in neighborhood schools my whole life, and it's just been one adult after another giving up on me. Through my work thinking about the education and the future of my school, I realized that every student has the potential to become really committed to their education. I don't want to walk away from high school feeling like the district only cares about the education of some, but not all. When I looked at the part of Med in 2014 that deals with the Renaissance schools, I was upset. We've asked many times if West would be on the list for Renaissance schools. We haven't gotten an answer yet. In Imagine 2014, it says that Renaissance schools can be taken over by outside providers. We've also heard that requests for proposals will go out before we know which schools are on the list. I want to make sure that West Philadelphia High School is not going to be handed over to outside providers because the community has a plan and we want our plan to be respected. Why is it that when magnet schools succeed because of ample resources and great teachers, they're rewarded with more resources, funding, and autonomy? But when a neighborhood school fails because of lack of resources, effective teachers, and good leadership, the district just gives them away to outside providers like they don't know what to do. Why is it that the district thinks that outside providers are a solution to low-performing schools, and neighborhood schools just become a dumping ground for ignored potential? Because I often hear that if you're going to be critical, you have to offer a solution. I would like to offer you a draft platform on whole school transformation. This platform includes the following transform low-performing schools: shaking up staff, full site selection, individualized and project-based learning, theme-based learning, common planning time, autonomy of budget and curriculum, a national search for principals, local school counselors that are independent and have real power, and public schools that serve all students equitably. If you say you value the voices and the input of the community, then you need to delay the vote on Imagine 2014 so that there can be an evening meeting where more input and testimony can be heard. If you vote on this plan on April 22nd, you'll be breaking the promises to me, the other students at West Philadelphia High School, and the community.
Thank you. show. Neither one of us knew why. We didn't build nothing overnight, cause a love like this takes some time. People swore it off as a phase, said we can't see that. Now from top to bottom, they see that we did that.
Yes,
it's so true that
yes,
we've been through it.
Yes,
but we got rushed.
Yes,
see, baby, we've been too strong for too long.
And I can't be without you, baby.
And I'll be waiting up until you get home.
Cause I can't sleep without you, baby. Oh. Anybody who's ever loved you knows just what I feel. Too hard to fake it. Nothing can replace it.
Call the radio
if you just can't be without you, baby.
Dedimore, and I'm a junior at Masterman. Now you might be wondering, why would a Masterman student be testifying about the strategic plan? Masterman is supposed to be the best school in the city. Well, the reason I'm here today is because the decisions that the district is making affect everyone, including both me and other students that I care about. Thinking that I have no reason to testify about the plan is like thinking that anyone who isn't from Philadelphia can't help run our schools. So I hope that you'll appreciate what I have to say. The School District of Philadelphia currently operates under five core beliefs. 1, children come first. 2, parents are our partners. 3, victory is in the classroom and facilitated by a strong instructional leader. 4, leadership and accountability are the keys to success. And 5, it takes the engagement of the entire community to ensure the success of its public schools. And these are all excellent principles. I want to make sure that you, the members of the School Reform Commission, keep these in mind when you're considering Imagine 2014. Before I explain what my concerns are with the plan and the process, I should mention the positive parts of the plan. It rightfully calls for more counselors and lower class sizes. It expands student success centers to all high schools. Another good part is that it recommends moving the teacher hiring timeline earlier in the year so that there are fewer vacancies when the school year starts. Also, it recommends helping current Philadelphia Public High School students become teachers if they desire. Now let's take a look at the first core belief, children come first. I think that the school district has forgotten this for too long, and so I think it's very encouraging that it's now considered a priority. If children really do come first, then surely the district will end contracts with outside providers that have shown the children do not come first. You'll tell us exactly what a proven track record means. You'll provide oversight and accountability around how public funds are used by outside groups. And you will demonstrate how everything that is being tried to transform low-performing schools now is unlike what has been tried and failed in the past. Since we can all agree that the Renaissance Schools plan is the most controversial part of Imagine 2014, it needs to be separated and voted on separately so that the public can express all of their concerns. The second core belief is that parents are partners. I agree entirely that parents play an important role in education. Because of this, I think that it's important to take a look at the process behind the plan. The draft was released in February, and everyone was told that it was just a draft, and there would be community meetings that everyone's input would be taken into consideration. But now the SRC is supposed to vote on it next week. This meeting is supposed to be the meeting where people can comment on the plan, but the final plan was released only yesterday. How can you expect people to testify on the plan with this short notice? Because of this lapse in the rules, it's necessary for the SRC to delay the vote on Imagine 2014 so the public will have a chance to comment on the plan. I see that it's expired, so I'll... I would like to say, as I was preparing, I found out that suddenly there were these community meetings with less than a week's notice. Also, I couldn't find them anywhere on the website, so I was a little put off by that. I think I should put it out there more. And finally, just to summarize, my two key points are to take out the Renaissance Schools plan so that it can be voted on separately, because it is really a big issue. And second, to delay the vote so that there can really be community meetings for people to talk about the plan that the SRC will actually be voting on. And thank you very much for your time.
Philadelphia now has a daytime curfew for school-age students. City Council recently approved a bill that will fine parents $25 if their kids are found absent from school during school hours. Repeat occurrences will result in higher fines and possibly other punishments. The aim of the bill is to reduce truancy in city schools. First of all, this would be very difficult to enforce. How is a cop supposed to know how old someone is? Does this mean that cops can now stop any young-looking person they see on the street? And what happens if someone who is above school age is stopped but does not have an ID on them? Also, how do school students who have a legitimate excuse from school prove that they have an excuse? There are quite a number of problems when it comes to enforcement.
That being said, the deeper problem with this bill is that it does not address the root cause of truancy. Rather than trying to stop truancy before it happens, it addresses it after it happens. There are many causes of truancy. For many students, school is a very unappealing place. Many schools look and feel like prisons. Students are given very little voice in their education. Schools often lack resources. Many schools have classes with long-term subs and unqualified teachers. Also, it can be hard for students to want to go to school when they are constantly being told that they are going to fail. This is not to say that truancy is a good thing, but the problem isn't so much that students aren't in school. It's that school isn't a place where students want to be.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this song.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
Life is really worth. It's not all that glitters is gold. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up.
Jump, jump.
Stand up for your rights.
Sick and tired of your ism, schism, game, dine and go to heaven in Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand, Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
gonna, we gonna do? Stand up for
yeah,
our rights.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You better
get up.
You've been listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. This is just a taste of what the Student Union does. We also do ongoing campaigns to improve our schools, monthly open mic, men's and women's group meetings, academic support, political education, and lots of other youth-led activities.
If you want more information about the Philadelphia Student Union, check out our website at www.phillystudentunion.org or email us at You should also find us on MySpace and Facebook. Send your comments and questions about the show to onblast@phillystudentunion.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Tune in next week, Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m., for the next edition of On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. You can also listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com. See you next time.